Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, February the 27th, 2026, 2-27-26. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you with us along for the ride this morning. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And do want to thank Kroger for being on earlier, talking about their Meatless Fridays for Lent. Mark Bruce, the head of communications and public affairs for the Kroger Columbus division, was on earlier. And next Friday, we'll have a $100 gift card from Kroger to give away in our trivia contest. What a big day that's going to be.
When is this trivia contest?
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
$100. That's a lot of groceries.
It is a lot of groceries.
So stay tuned for that next Friday. And thanks to Kroger for participating in that. Now, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Bill Collins has sent out his two-page letter here of what he wants to do with the city to get things back in shape financially. By the way, I did send Bill Collins an email yesterday as soon as I got this. Asked him to come on the show today, and I have not heard anything back from him yet. But, you know, as they say, hope springs eternal. So maybe we'll hear from the mayor this morning. It would be kind of nice with all these things going on. But what do you make of this look, Matt? Raising storm sewer rates, raising sanitation rates, getting rid of curbside recycling, raising transit fees.
Well, it, you know, it is my understanding that a lot of those things haven't been raised in a while, so truth be told, they are probably due to be raised. But nonetheless, it's not, I mean, people aren't going to be happy about it, especially that it's all happened in one, like, lump movement.
Usually, a politician would not want to do this all at once.
I would think, yeah, no, that's not great.
And the two that are going to stick in people's craw for the longest period of time, getting rid of curbside recycling. It's been there for 41 years. Why can that no longer be sustained? And also the raising of the transit fees, because mostly the lower income people use transit. That's not a tax. That's not sewer rates and sanitation rates not being raised for years. That's not an out-of-city tax credit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd agree to that.
And a lot of the transit department is paid for by grants. So they have this grant writer, which they tout all the time. I don't know why they can't fix that problem with grants. It would seem to me that's a little peculiar.
I figured there'd be grants to do it.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Did I hear him say this was just proposed?
Well, I think at this point it'd be proposed, because I the only thing I think they've done is the storm sewer rate.
But wouldn't that still have to be approved? I thought I heard him say this was proposed changes.
Well,
if it's proposed, then the council has the opportunity to yay or nay it.
Well, I think this is what they are proposing, but the storm sewer rate raise, that came in a press release earlier in the week, and that pretty much seemed, this is what's happening, and it's happening in April.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but when I just heard his proclamation there, that he said that this was proposed, so that would still give the council the opportunity, they're probably not going, I mean, they at least they have the opportunity to Nair yet.
Well, here's what I don't understand. His opening statement is, over the past few weeks, I have listened carefully to your questions, concerns, and your request for more transparency from your city government. I want to address several rumors circulating in our community and provide clear, accurate information about the city's financial situation. My goal is to ensure every resident has access to the facts.
I understand that. But if it's just a proposal, at least the council has the opportunity, if they aren't just a yes person, to fake it through and not just give him an open checkbook.
Well, I guess we'll find out. This letter is divided up into parts. Now, the tax credit for out-of-town workers. Now, that's in one section. Now, obviously, that's in front of council right now.
Okay.
Now, the storm sewer, the sanitation, and the eliminating of curbside recycling, that's all in a different section.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that stuff will go in front of council.
So, why do they put it out like it's a done deal?
Well, this is from the mayor is the one who signed this. I mean, and I'm not trying to be facetious here, but do you think he wrote this?
Oh, no, I can't imagine that many words coming out of his mouth, but anyway, maybe.
Well, it's just, it's a very, I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Fool me once, thing, fool me twice, yeah, no. But no, I heard proposal, which proposal would mean it is up for vote.
Well, it says we are proposing on the transit rates. I see that, where he says we're proposing an increase to $2. Now, apparently that's proposed, but I don't see that word in the section with the storm sewer rates. The sanitation, no, sanitation does say proposed. We're proposing a $3 flat tax increase, and we're also proposing the elimination of curbside recycling. But storm sewer rates, it says, let's see here, it doesn't say that that's a proposal. And earlier in the week, that came out and said, he said in that press release that that was going to take effect in April.
Well, I understand that, but then when you go through that whole big long list, it's like he sat down and says, well, this is the way they're going to run my city.
Well, I think he's kind of got them under the gun here because they all know that if they don't get a plan together to raise revenues by April, that the city could go into the state's hands.
Do you think it'd be a bad thing for the city to go into the state's hand?
Nope. I don't think it would, because I think they got their their tights in a tangle, and they don't know how to get out of it. And then we put in new people that's never been on council. How's that going to fix it?
Well, I tell you what, are these people going to vote for all this? I mean, are you going to vote for the elimination of the out-of-city tax credit? Are you going to vote for the sanitation rate hike? Are you going to vote for I want to see who eliminates for votes for the elimination of curbside recycling to completely do away with that program, because that's not going to be a popular vote. And raising transit rates is going to be an ugly vote. So we'll see who votes yes for that.
How long has it been, though, since transit votes have... Oh, and then, of course, we've done some goofy stuff there at the transit, you know, just at the flip of when he first got there. So, but, nope, I just heard that, and I thought, well, okay, now that makes a little more sense.
Well, maybe
rubber stamp everything.
But, you know, it is bothersome to me. Okay, now we're all in this together, and we're all going to fix these problems, and la-di-da. And Monday night, Sean Barr said this is political suicide. And in this letter, the mayor's talking about this not being beneficial for his re-election. Now, is that really what's on their mind?
I want to tell you, if I had that job, I'd get out of town as quick as I could get. As far away as I could. That's when I'd leave the country, once I got up from under that. So I think he maybe left the country too soon.
Well, I left the county, I guess. It was the county,
oh,
not
I
the...
I know. I heard you say that. But anyway, no, I see none. I thought, well, then I guess he really can't do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. But well, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think council's going to vote for all this?
I think they'll vote for most of it, at the very least.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I could see him voting for the storm and drain, that whole thing, has already gone up. But I don't know that they'll vote for the elimination of the curbside pickup. I mean, that gets used quite a bit. Been around a while. But I think most of the things they'll probably be all right with. I think they'll be all right with them as far as they'll vote for them. I don't know that they'll be happy about it, though.
Do you also know how long the city will have to pass balanced budgets? I mean, you won't be able to add anything. Employees, new programs, anything. For I don't know how long. And you know what's not on this list? I don't know what they're spending on the rec center. I guess they do all the repairs over there, but maybe that comes from grants. I don't know. I think maybe it does.
I don't know about all the rec center stuff, but I know some of it was being used with, like, opioid money.
Right, so maybe that's that. And, I don't know. It seems like a tough place to be in. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Like I said, it's just very ironic that the person who tried to rebrand the city for a positive, to make people love your city, be positive, is the person who's presiding over one of the most divisive, unfortunate times in Marion's history. But it's not as if people didn't try to say this was coming. It's not as if this was not known as a problem.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they knew the books weren't balanced for a while. I mean, Jason had been saying that the city was going to be in financial struggles for a while. But they, you know, all the stickers and the Night Moves bus and just all the things they've done, you know, they stack up.
Well, I guess I don't understand. If they knew this was all coming, if they knew that there were problems, why didn't they start to raise some of this stuff when they came up, and then they could have done it gradually? Because, I mean, Mayor Collins is in his third year now. So why
I don't know why they decided to do it all at once. Maybe just to
the state's breathing down their neck. I mean, why didn't they say, let's raise the storm sewer rates? It hasn't been done in a long time right off the bat here. Let's raise the sanitation rates. You know, I don't quite understand. Let's not do the Night Moves program. You know, how much money was lost there in what, the year and a half that operated, that they could have used not to raise the transit fees? That one still baffles me. Whoever thought that was a good idea, I still don't know.
Well, I thought, I mean, they were, I don't remember, I do believe there were at least people who supported a night bus, but I don't think that it was like the concept that was presented as far as Night Moves.
Well, I think that's the point. I mean, but the reason there wasn't a night bus and the reason there isn't a night bus now is because you can't afford it.
Well, I understand that.
Right. So I think other people understood that. So why did this group not understand that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they were trying to do something.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I mean, they rebranded the whole city. I mean,
What good did that do?
Rebranding the city?
Yeah.
It didn't. There's new stickers everywhere.
That's why people are all into branding. I don't know if I really believe that. Slap your name all over everything. That's fine. I don't know that it does a darn bit of good when it comes to anything.
I don't remember who I was with, but I was taking somebody back to their house, and they saw like the one of the Love Your City signs, and they were like, "Yeah, I like Green Camp." And I just thought that was funny because we had a whole conversation on here, like the beginning, where we were like, "Love Your City isn't even Love Marion City; it's just Love Your City."
Yeah, I don't. Do you think people feel good about the city with all these stories on the news?
No, probably not.
All this mess going on.
It's not going. It's not a great time to live in Marion.
Anyway, 740-383-9944. You know, last week we talked about is the endorsement of Ray Grogan a good thing? Is the endorsement of Marion City Council a good thing at this point? People who talk about committing political suicide.
Well, I think. Well, I mean. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
I mean, I don't put a whole lot of stock into endorsements. Because, I mean, a lot of just endorsements are like, yeah, okay, makes sense. So.
I don't know. There it is. That's the best we can say at this point. Did we talk about... we're getting a phone call. Let's take the phone call, then we'll come back to this. All right, and as we go on this morning, we are glad to be joined by former 2nd Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, who might have some insight into the letter released yesterday by Mayor Bill Collins. Ayers, how you doing?
Well, good morning. Sorry, you had asked me to call in at 9:15. I had stuff to do and was late, but... Here I am.
What? Better late than never. Have you had a chance to read over this letter from Mayor Collins yesterday?
You know, to be honest with you, I skimmed parts of it yesterday. I actually haven't sat down to read it. And, you know, I know you had talked a little bit this morning, and what a lot of people have talked a lot about over the last, you know, several months is, you know, the, quote, missing money. And I don't think that people understand why that the city is where it is, and really it's quite simple, and it goes back to balancing books. And you go to many city council meetings. How many city council meetings or committee meetings did you sit through that you heard, especially Aaron Rollins, Jason Schauber, and myself, talk about cleaning up negative line items? You can't have negative line items. Line items can't be negative.
Many meetings.
And so when you have a budget, everything is broken down by line item. You give, you know, the fire department a certain amount of money, but it's a certain amount for, you know, gas, a certain amount for payroll, a certain amount for overtime, a certain amount for supplies, a certain amount for this, a certain amount for that. And when you overspend in, let's say, overtime, you need to have an appropriation ordinance that transfers money from your regular salaries to your overtime to still make that a balanced budget and make that turn back to zero. But when you continuously run your line items into the negative and you don't balance those, then you have an overspending problem.
Well,
so at the end of the year, let's say you have $400,000 left in the budget that you didn't spend, but you have $600,000 in negative line items, you have actually overspent by $200,000. And when you don't account for that $600,000 worth of negative line items, and then you take the $400,000 that you have left in your positive line items and count that into your carryover for the next year, you're negative $600,000, and you do that over 10 years in a row, and now you're negative $6 million.
Well, I think what people are particularly confused about when it comes to this $8,877,996 that the city is in deficit is, okay, when they talk about that number, they will say, well, this happened over multiple administrations and multiple years and overspending and so on and so forth. You were there for 20 years. Now, is that true? Has this been just going on during the Schertzer administration, during other councils? Has everybody just been overspending and not paying attention to the books?
So I'm going to say this has happened, the bulk of this has happened in the last 5 to 7 years. I don't think that this happened 15 years ago. I don't think this happened, you know, I don't believe that this happened I don't think it happened before there were changes, honestly, in the auditor's office. And it hasn't been, it has been since the city has not had a good grasp on its books and cleaning up the negative line items at the end of the year, did this problem arise?
So that change took place, I believe, in January of 2020. That would be auditors Landon and auditors McGinnis.
And I think it's gotten worse as time has went on. I don't think 2020 was as bad as 21. I don't think 21 was as bad as 22. You know, I think it has progressively gotten worse each and every year.
So based on that, what did the city start to spend money on that they, because it's been very well known ever since, I think, 2021, that the books were not being reconciled. So what is the money that has been spent that has created this problem that the city was not spending prior to it?
You're looking at it, in my opinion, not the right way.
Okay.
Because it's not that there was something extra spent. It's not there was something extra bought. It's not there was, you know, it is the fact that it cost more money to run the city the way it was being run than the revenues were coming in.
So when you say the way it was being run, what is that?
The amount of money that it took for salaries, the amount of money that it takes to buy gas, the amount of money that it was budgeted to pay for electric, and it was costing more money to run the city than the city was bringing revenues in.
And because the books not being reconciled, this was not as noticeable as normally it would have been.
Correct.
Okay.
And so this all goes back to negative line items in the budget.
So,
and if every year, which used to happen every single year, if at the end of the year you do this big, huge appropriation ordinance that cleans up all your negative line items, if that would have happened accurately each and every year, the city would not be in the shape that it's in now, because it would have been way more glaring to people that we were in financial problems. But when it looks like you had a carryover at the end of your year of the numbers you get from the auditor's office, then you were way more comfortable with the fact to say, well, we didn't overspend this year. So at the end of it, when you don't have balanced books and you have X amount of dollars to spend for that year and you don't overspend it, you're like, okay, we got through this year, We need to get our books balanced. We just need to live within our means for that year. And the information from the auditor's office was telling us that we were living within our means, but we weren't.
Well, I think, and I want to get to some of these things in just a second, but I think one of the optical problems here is that when we did have a change in mayors, I don't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong here, during, let's say this problem started in 2020. Okay, that, Mayor Schertz.
And I do have to say, as far as the negative line items, I don't believe Robert Landon was near the problem that Miranda McGinnis was. You know, first of all, he wasn't in office long enough. And second of all, they did, I would have to go back and re-review at this point if it was done completely accurately. But the best of my recollection, they did an appropriation ordinance that year. And it's the following year when he left. And then we had the transition of Martin Watts to Miranda McGinnis is when that this actually completely started.
Well, and I think this is the question. Okay, so Mayor Schertzer's there from 20 to 23 while this is happening, and Collins has been there since the beginning of 24. And I think the difference in the two mayors when it comes to finances, I don't remember in that three-year period Mayor Schertzer introducing any new legislation that was going to cost the city money or council voting on anything that significant during that time. And a matter of fact, pay raises were vetoed during that time that were proposed by council. And under the Collins administration, there are a number of things that money was spent on that had not been spent on before, from, you know, bus wraps, wall wraps, night moves bus, party in the park, new positions that were created, budget director, grant writer, all of those things just gave an optic of where's that money coming from, as opposed to the Schertzer years, which I think Mayor Collins has even referred to as Groundhog Day, that nothing was ever changing.
Yes, between the two mayors, Collins is a more, you know, probably proactive, and Schertzer was probably more reactive in their thoughts on how that the office should operate. But Collins is more expensive, and it's more expensive to be proactive than it is to be reactive.
For an easy way to look at it, there are two pots of money. There's active money, and then there's investment money. And you have heard two different things over the last multiple years. And that is, one, we have lived within our budget each year. And two, the money in the investment account is dwindling down to nothing. And I know you've heard both of those things over the last several years. And again, it goes back to your bookkeeping and your negative line items not being accounted for. And I do believe that Collins and City Council believed that they were living within the money that they had. And I don't think that they ever understood why that we continuously ran short and why that we continuously had to draw from the city's investment funds.
Well,
because if it said we had X amount of dollars and we didn't spend more than that, they never understood why we were always short.
Well, and I think that gets to the press release that came out yesterday. Because, I think everybody is aware that the auditor's office has not been in great shape, and the city did not know exactly how much money it had because of not reconciling the books for the last 5 years. But in this press release, it talks about things like the out-of-city tax credit for people who work outside the city. That was passed in 2023. It talks about the storm sewer rate, which has not been raised since 2017. Talks about the sanitation rates, which has not been increased in 12 years. Talks about curbside recycling and costing nearly $500,000 a year. Talks about transit rates, which have not been increased in 15 years. So if transit rates have not been increased in 15 years, if sanitation rates haven't in 12, if storm sewer hasn't since 2017, and the tax credit for people who work outside the city was passed in 2023, why would anybody think that the city would be generating the type of money it should?
Because not all that's accurate.
Okay, this is interesting. So which parts aren't accurate?
A whole bunch of them.
Okay.
As far as the sewer rates not being raised, that is in the ordinance that is to be raised to meet the debt service. And if that has not been raised in the last 3 years, then, you know, shame on the administration, because that is due to negligence, because that's right in the ordinance that is supposed to be raised. When that was first passed, there were 10 years of raises built into the original ordinance that was passed. And then it says above that, it is to be adjusted each year to meet the, because that is supposed to be a self-sustaining fund that meets its own debt service.
Okay, so the storm sewer rates should have been raised by the administration, but that was just negligence.
Correct.
Okay. What about the sanitation and the out-of-city tax credit?
So the out-of-city tax credit, if you read the release, says that they want to repeal the 50% credit. Does it not?
It does. It does.
And, I mean, that's an inaccurate statement. It is 100%.
100% credit, which they said on Monday.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I don't even think they realize that whoever wrote that release doesn't even realize what the credit is.
Which has already had its first reading at City Council.
Correct. And so, you know, it is scary when you have people messing with your finances and messing with the finances of thousands of people who live inside the city, in their own personal household's finances, with fiddling with their taxes, that they don't even understand what the tax is.
So when it comes to sanitation and transit, now, am I wrong? Didn't the transit rates, didn't council take a hold of that last year during a vote?
No. What council did was pass an ordinance that says, if it is going to be raised, council has to approve it.
Right.
We did not vote a raise up or down. We just said if it's going to be raised, it has to be approved.
So it does have to be approved by council.
Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, and I know, you know, when they talk about money being raised and revenue, it's important to know that about 90% of your transit department is funded by grants. So about 10% is funded locally through either general fund money or self-sustaining bus fares. So there's actually very little money that comes locally that funds your bus and your transit department. And when your grants go up a whole bunch of years, to say that the revenue hasn't went up is also inaccurate, because the revenue did go up because your grants went up.
So as far as sanitation and getting rid of curbside recycling, any thoughts on that?
You know, that was brought up in the past. And there was actually a time, and I can't remember the year, but there was a time that recycling was not being accepted, I believe, by China. And my understanding is once that that recyclables hit the recycle center, they get shipped overseas, and China had stopped taking the recycling for most of the world, and most of the recycling was ending up in landfills there for a good number of years. And I believe it was Josh Daniels who brought to council, this is ridiculous that we're spending this amount of money for a recycling program and everything's ending up in a landfill at the end of the day. We're not even recycling anything because there's no place to recycle it. And we looked at modifying our recycling then, and the public was completely against it. And so, I have always said in my tenure on council that I will vote the consensus of my ward, honestly, whether I agree with that or not. And when I heard from multiple people that they wanted the recycling center the recycling program to continue, and I tried to explain to them, why I didn't think at that point that it should, I stuck with the majority of what I believed that my ward wanted. And again, I didn't even personally agree with that vote. But that recycling is now has been accepted again, and it's been accepted for quite some time, and things are being recycled. So, it'll be interesting to see how people react to this, because in the past they have been extremely against getting rid of curbside recycling.
Now, sanitation rates not being increased in 12 years.
I mean, again, that is driven by the administration. I don't have an answer for that off the top of my head. I don't know if that is accurate or not. I haven't looked at that. It has been a while since we have looked at it. But again, that's nothing that city council looks at without somebody bringing that to council.
Here's what somebody said to me yesterday. Somebody who pays very close attention to what's going on in the city. I don't believe they live in the city, but they pay very close attention. They read the paper. They listen to this show. When I see them, they always talk about this. They said this year's proposed budget was somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million over what the projected revenues for the city were. And they were able to get rid of that $5 million and get a balanced budget within the city's revenues, and then the city touts the idea that they didn't have to lay off an employee to do that. Now, people see that, when they hear that and they see that, they see that as, how in the world do you get rid of $5 million in your budget, your proposed budget, without laying off an employee? Boy, your budget must have had a lot of fat in it.
I can't answer for this year's budget. I really didn't work on it. And, there were some tweaks that I tried to make to it at the very end of my tenure, and had a proposed way to pay for each tweak that I wanted. They weren't all accepted. And, this council needs to figure out how to do it. And we've always been able to do it in the past, and that's something that they're going to have to figure out moving forward.
Well, I guess I have two parting questions here, Ayers. We know what the mayor wants to do here, and what maybe council's input is on this, but this is signed by the mayor. This is a letter from the mayor. Is this the way to fix Marion's financial problem? what the mayor has laid out here. Is this what you would do?
It is not what I would do. It is a fix. You know, I mean, if everybody throws in more money, that would be an easier fix than if you did it slowly and probably a little bit more painfully with some service finagling. But, you know, there are multiple ways that budget money can be saved. And I don't know of them looking into any of those. I have, you know, before that I left, I had conversations, honestly, both with the now treasurer and with the mayor of some direction that I think that they should go. Maybe they're looking into them, maybe they're not, I don't know. But they need a restructuring of the tax department. Would be one of the absolute major things that would go a long way to fix the city.
From our current treasurer, who was the head of the financial chair, Twyla Lang, and occasionally from the mayor, and I think Monday night from Aaron Rollins, I believe this comment was made, a lot of this is always put on previous administrations. This problem is because previous administrations either started it or it was their fault altogether and we're here to clean it up. Is that accurate?
It is not. You know, and so where did they get that? And, you know, could they argue in a debate their point? I'm sure. But a lot of this started when the city received just oodles of money of what, you know, I'm just going to deem COVID money. And we were given a lot of money for certain purposes. And so if we were able to use COVID money to purchase a new ambulance, and a bunch of other cities were given COVID money to purchase ambulances, that created a supply problem for ambulances. And you may have ordered an ambulance in 2021, but it had a, you know, 2-year lead time. So you would what's called encumber the money, put it in your investment fund, and then you wouldn't actually have to pay for it until the ambulance came. So when the Collins administration started, there were multiple items that had been ordered with this, quote, COVID money that had to be spent on certain items. Now, it's also important to know that the money was there in the investment funds. And I believe that when Schertzer left office, we had in the ballpark of $15 million in the city's investment accounts. And that has dwindled down. I believe it's got, you'd have to ask the current people to give you your accurate number, but the last time I knew, I believe it had $3 million in it. So in the last 3 years, that has dwindled from 15 to 3. Now, I would say $5 million of that what had to do with trash trucks and ambulances and different pieces of equipment that was ordered that didn't come for several years. But the other monies of that has just been flat out overspending.
And what was the overspending? What did people overspend on, in your opinion?
See, and that's where you can't look at a, you know, they did this and they overspent. It's a complete overspending. We are overstaffed with what we're able to afford. We have too many police officers. We have a hierarchy in the police force that we can't sustain. You shouldn't call the police department and say, "Can I talk to a supervisor?" And they say, "Which one?" and you shouldn't be paying four and five supervisors on the same shift. It's too expensive. You shouldn't be paying a police chief to run all over the state to play head of the FOP and then paying a acting police chief to be your police chief in its place. That police chief holding that position is costing the citizens of Marion $50,000 to $75,000 a year, more than it should, simply because he's not here a whole bunch of days. And he's got a sweetheart deal made with the administration that he gets 50-some days of paid leave above his weeks and weeks of vacation time to be the FOP president for the state, which benefits Marion zero. And so you have multitude of situations to where things are not being run fiscally correct. That's just costing too much money at the end of the day.
Well, and I guess as we get toward the end of this segment in about 3 minutes, when the mayor sends out a letter like this and says things like this that you say are not completely accurate, like the storm sewer not being raised since 2017, that actually was on the administration. The sanitation rates not being raised in 12 years, that was on the administration. Calling it a 50% tax credit for people who work outside the city when actually it's a 100% tax credit and has had one reading already. And then the line at the end where the mayor wrote, as your mayor, my responsibility is not to make decisions based on what is politically convenient or beneficial for re-election. And on Monday, First Ward City Councilman Sean Barr said these decisions are political suicide. So, you know, we know what's on their mind. Is this the way to run a city by, and then say I'm out of the county, I can't answer questions on this?
You were cutting out there. Ask me the question one more time.
Yeah. For the mayor to put out a letter like this and have things in here that aren't exactly correct in regard to the financial situation, like the sanitation rates and the storm sewer rates being on the administration, and the fact that it's a 100% tax credit for people who work outside the city, not a 50% tax credit, which this letter states. And then at the end saying, the mayor writes, this is not politically convenient or beneficial for re-election. And Sean Barr, First Ward City Councilman on Monday, saying this is political suicide. Is this a good look? Is this how this should be handled?
Again, I'm going to say no, but I'm not there. You know, they have to handle it the best way that they know how to handle it. Raising everybody's taxes and fees seems to be their preferred method. And maybe the voters will make them explain it, and maybe they won't. Then time will tell.
But just
again, I think it's the wrong way, but, you know, this is the way that they've chosen.
But just to be clear for citizens who are listening or who might hear this, you feel there is another way to do this aside from raising all of these rates and taxes?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe somebody will ask on Monday. I would imagine some of these things are not going to be very popular now that it's known to the community. I think this is the first time the community has been aware of it. So I guess
sadly, probably.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time some of your elected officials have been aware of it, and that's even sadder.
Well, that should say a lot. Well, Ayers, I thank you so much for calling in, and hopefully we can talk again soon. Maybe after, we'll see what happens on Monday night.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Former 2nd Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, that was a lot. We're going to go to break and come back and talk about this right after this.
And thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
I've got two Marlas.
Oh, there is another Marla.
Yes,